Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I am your host, John Crockett. We are without Stevie Fizz for the next couple of weeks as he prepares for his birthday bash and coming out of this COVID crisis. So happy birthday to Fizz in the coming weeks. But we do have the man who dominated all the ISO drafts. It is the one and only The Statesman. Welcome.
I just feel relaxed, relieved. There's a bit of tension taken out of the air. It's like we're less likely to offend people this week, and it just makes you just feel quite smooth without the Fizz boy around.
Oh, we'll still offend people. Don't worry about that, because your old mate Trumpy boy hiding in his bunker and causing all sorts of anarchy over there in the States, but we'll not touch that subject just yet. But he is all the way there in sunny Queensland, while you and I freeze, Stato. It is Cam McLaughlin. Welcome.
Yeah, g'day, mate, and I will do my best to offend as many people as I possibly can in the absence of Steve. But yeah, just over 2 weeks left till the first bounce, or under 2 weeks left till the first bounce. No, I think when this drops, I think we'll be exactly 1 week away from team lists, which is very, very exciting. And I'm so excited that my nipples could cut glass right now, boys. Could cut glass.
And that's right. We will be about a week and a half away from football actually kicking off. And we're just going to run through a few scenarios, what we've noticed since round one, what's going to happen with these returning injured players like your Ollie Wines, your Cal Wards and whatnot, maybe some buy-sell candidates, and having a look at a fixture early on and how we might plan out our season, because this is certainly one for the record book. So let's jump straight into it and go through some of these returning injured players and just work out who's it going to affect and who's going to get an upside. And probably the biggest one is Cal Ward from the GWS. And I think with Tim Taranto not too far away either, he's about a month away, I'd still say, from his shoulder. The first cab off the rank would be Tom Green. Obviously, he was the first-year player straight into that team, but Cal Ward should take his spot, and I could see Jacob Hopper potentially losing some midfield time as well.
Yeah, I was thinking more. I think it'll be Perryman that takes a bit of a dip out of those, because he sort of plays that defender, but also pinch hitting in the mid. I think he'll pinch in less in the mid. I think Hopper is too good around the ball these days to take too much time off, but I'd say there'll be a mix of Callan Ward and Hopper in that midfield.
I think it's pretty clean cut with this one. I think Tom Green is out, and in comes Callan Ward, and I think Ward coming back from an ACL won't be doing anything like having 85% game time. I think they'll ease him back in and just build through the momentum. I think it's really important that, and we'll talk about the fixture a little bit later, but I think it's really important we concentrate on looking at the first month, because that's all we know what is actually coming. And you're not going to see Timmy Taranto in that first month. You don't know if you get an injury in that time. And there is quite a few people, whether they're right or wrong, but there's quite a few people talking about having this 7 weeks off, and depending on how the players have worked through the strength and conditioning program, through their high-performance staff, what they've received and what they've delivered through that time, that there is going to be the potential to see quite a few injuries early on. So we're talking soft tissue and stuff like that because they haven't had the stress ongoing. Now, again, this is people's opinions. Whether that becomes actual or not is a bit of a question mark. But I certainly know from people having time off, then rolling back in and going high intensity pretty quickly is generally when you start getting soft tissue injuries. Yes, you'll have collision injuries, but you do that whether you're round 17 or you're round 2 after 9 weeks off. But the soft tissue is the interesting one, and maybe some knees and ankles, just because maybe they haven't had that sort of prep to play sorted out well and truly for them. So that'll be the interesting part. So I reckon we park Taranto And we just talk about Callum Ward. They'll probably bring him back in. And I reckon immediately it takes Tom Green's space. But you also have Williams returning. So that's going to be interesting. People say straight away it means coming out. I'm not quite sure. I think Cumming's a bit flexible and can be part of that wing rotation. But no doubt two players need to go out if you're going to bring Warn and Williams in.
Is there any scenario where Ward and Toby Green rotate forward mid with each other? Because we did see Toby Green play a significant role last year, and Callum was no slouch in front of the goals either. He can play that small, medium forward, so it, just another option for Leon Cameron, I suppose.
Yeah, I think obviously Green had a bit of midfield time at the end of last year, but so did Zach Williams, but it just because they were so decimated, because that bloke that Cam sold a premiership for got injured, and so did quite a few others. Sorry, I had to use that dig, Cam. But, although there's always that potential because that's how good he is, but he really finishes off their team up forward. So I don't think it'll be something unless they're trying to manage how they use Ward. I think Ward is best suited to be an inside mid.
Okay. Yeah. And just on the Zach Williams thing, Stato, do you reckon Nick Haynes takes a hit from his scoring output? There was a bit of conjecture last year that, you know, with Zach Williams moving into the mid, Nick Haynes' scores kind of went through the roof, and he finished really strongly. And he, I think in round one, he ended up getting the equivalent in AFL fantasy anyway of a before coronavirus ton.
That's a dollar to Calvin.
Yes.
But I will say the important thing here is it's really hard to reflect on last year now because there are other pieces that fall into place. There is that potential, but I actually see him as two different players. And I think Haynes is really going to take that intercept role. And yep. I think we saw there were two, and such a small sample, but there were two things that really stood out. The big scorers we saw were generally in round one, the inside midfielders with a shortened game and the intercept marking players. Yeah. So they were the two that seemed to get less of a dip.
Good Bob.
Moving on now, Ollie Wines is expected back. They're saying maybe round two, if not round three. And we did see when Wines did come back into the team last year, it was Travis Boak who seemed to get the out of that midfield, and his scores were adversely affected considering in the first half of the year he was absolutely knocking out of the park. So it could be something we see there, or even potentially a Houston going back in defence. I'm pretty keen to see what old Kenny Hinckley does here when Wines is available.
I think at the end of the day there is going to be some impact, but I think it'll be more on the rotation structure. I'm thinking less Boak, to be honest. I'm thinking Powell Pepper, Rocky and Houston have all got some impact on their rotation. But I'm pretty happy that Houston is clearly they want him in the midfield. Clearly they see him as a bit of that future. And Rocky and Boak end up being a bit of the past very quickly. And they're getting Houston ready to be the main inside driver for that club. There's obviously speculation that Wines was talking with other clubs. Again, that's speculation. So they're looking for the future. They're talking about Dan Houston's our big, strong inside mid. So I can't see him moving.
Yeah, and I tend to agree. And I think you probably see a dip. I think it'll just be a dispersion of centre bounce attendances across Boak, Ebert, and probably Wines. Like, I think those three will be where they disperse, and then I think Rocky will probably be locked in the mid with old mate.
Boak.
No, other fella. Other fella, come on, you can do it. Houston.
Robbie Gray.
Houston. We started talking about Houston, so I wasn't going to go back.
But where do, I don't see Wines playing any other position because...
I agree. He, yep.
I mean, Boak we've seen play forward. Ebert we've seen play forward.
Yeah.
I think Powell Pepper loses a bit. So round one, he got a bit of time, but I think he'll be more of that sort of half-forward flanker, burst player here and there.
Yep.
Yeah, agreed. And also we've got Dyson Heppel. He's back on the track finally. He's an okay scorer. He's not up in the upper echelons, but he might have some value. He could be a good buy candidate later on in the show. He's coming back from that foot injury late last year. He pretty much wasn't expected up until about now in the season. So I don't really think it's going to affect anyone too much at Essendon because they are so midfield thin. If anyone, it could be Andy McGhost. Who knows?
I'll just play the Steve Fizz role. It's Essendon. Who cares?
Yeah.
Oh, no, completely agree. We won't offend anyone.
the interesting one was Dylan Chiu just had a blinder round one. I think he had the second highest score off the top of my head.
Yep.
And that was because he had 86% time on ground to his normal about 77, 78% time on ground. So he had a massive bump.
And that's where I was heading. If Dyson Heppel comes back, does that percentage roll back a little bit for Dylan Shiel?
Well, or could it be one of the other sort of fringy mids, like the potato Langford maybe drops down or out in...
Parrish, even worse.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how Essendon line up because even though we're not there yet, their fixture's actually pretty reasonable in terms of matchups. Round two, they've got Sydney, who we know aren't exactly the greatest team going around, we think, this year. Round three, they've got Melbourne. Again, a pretty good matchup. Round four, they've got Carlton. And then round five, Collingwood. So it's pretty solid matchup in terms for midfield points there. So I'm not too... pretty keen to keep my Essendon midfield players in my team going for up for this first block of games anyway.
Yeah, cool. And Zach Merritt, who had not the best preparation, should be fit and firing, so expect him to come out of the blocks.
Yep.
And we also saw in the first round Nick Newman dislocated his elbow or something. I think he should be right for round two. It'd be interesting to see. He did that relatively early, so I'm going to be pretty keen. We saw Doherty score well. How they're going to be working in tandem in a full game together. And as we know, Adam Treloar is definitely out for round two. And we think Taylor Adams gets the bump there. And side bump should stay in the middle, which he was in round one.
And scored very well.
Correct, yes.
There's a couple of others that of ins that could potentially have some pretty big effect in regards to like Lipinski and Liberatore down at the Dogs. What do you think that's going to do, Jono?
I've been saying it from day one. It's going to affect Dunkley. He'll get the chop out of that midfield and play that mid-size really? Forward.
Why did Lipinski not play? Was he actually injured or not selected?
He was injured.
Injured.
Yep.
Hunter's out.
Yep.
So does Bailey Smith? Does Bailey Smith lose?
I think Bailey Smith loses.
Yeah. And I was thinking that he might just go a bit more outside because you're losing Hunter from the wing.
But Bailey Smith didn't get a lot of that inside centre bounces round one anyway. He was more his forward pressure.
Yeah, okay. So he wasn't actually really in guts.
Not a lot. It was probably 50%, I think, from off the top. I tried looking for the numbers. I couldn't find the numbers. But
who was their matchup?
Collingwood.
Who do give scores away. So maybe Bailey Smith's round one score is a bit inflated if he hasn't got a pure midfield role. And then you take Hunter out and then you bring Lipinski in.
Yep. And if Libba is good enough to make the team, you sort of probably get rid of Ben Cavara. But I think it's really interesting around Bailey Smith, and we'll mention him a little bit later as a sell target potentially as well.
Don't say that to Doss, please.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad he's not here.
Bailey Smith had 23 disposals, 7 tackles, and 5 marks. Round 1.
Look at how the rest of the midfield underperformed, though.
Like, yeah, that's not true.
They were smashed by Brody Grundy that night.
Yeah. But it's just not going to happen again, is what I'm
saying. No.
Yep. Fair enough.
Agreed.
Fair enough. Can we have a No Dosses Boy podcast next week?
Yes. Lock it in.
Yep. Just no more.
The other interesting ins that I have are Akers and Mundy in the Frio lineup, considering that, you know, already Andrew Brayshaw was maybe a little bit undersold from a time on ground perspective in round one, and Adam Chera ended up floating into defence. Add 2 more midfielders into the mix, what happens?
Well, that Mundy one's an interesting one, because now it's 16 weeks. They can just go balls to the wall and throw Mundy in there without any sort of repercussions, because we know he's old and probably wouldn't have lasted the full season. But
yeah,
they can leave him as that big body midfield now and potentially let Brayshaw and that grow another year and get bigger.
Sorry, where does balls to the wall come from?
I don't know. It's an expression we use.
I've got this shocking vision in my head of someone trying to stand and push their balls up against the wall going, I'm showing you. I'm giving it everything.
That's it. It's an interesting. We might have to do another show, a deep dive podcast on weird balls to the wall.
Yeah. Deep dive. Oh, my goodness.
And Akers as well. He was, more wing in those
Last so games. He'll go wing, so it'll be interesting to see what they do as a mix there. I'm assuming him and Brett Bewley will be the two wingmen, with maybe Aish chopping them out. So I think that's the way that one will go, which should keep Bewley still a pretty good scorer for those that own him and would have got him quite cheaply or very late in the draft, if not on the waiver wire.
Yeah, absolutely. And even though it was what seemed a lifetime ago, did we remember or learn anything from round one, or is it just too much of a sample size, you think, and it was that far along, that how do you think the season will play out? Like, the inside mids will get the bump in the scores, in the intercept markers. We saw, state of your theory, that the endurance players like your Tom Scullys and Lucky Whitfields, because they've got such a big tank and the quarters are shorter, they don't get that, call it red time, junk time scoring points as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So that was, again, very small sample size. I think before people rush and change strategies, I think they need to take a couple of weeks into the revamp to understand what's happening. Because the key thing here, so think about football, people would have learnt and seen round one. They would have been doing the homework and they've had that much time to go through the vision. I can guarantee you there'll be different thoughts of how to deal with the shortened time. Now, that could come for good scoring effect for some and poor scoring effect for the others. The small sample size did suggest to us that the inside midfielders got a bump, but again, was that more about their matchups that week? Or was it the case of this is the shortened version? The scoring shots, there was a high percentage of actually kicked goals. So take away the crowds, the pressure seemed to be off. So what you're actually finding is you're going into the centre more. So you put that into perspective, more goals scored, more centre bounces, more opportunities for your insiders to score. And putting that,
all the ruckmen scored very well in round one as well.
Yeah, correct. Now, whether that stays as we come into the winter months, so we get wet, windy and all that type of stuff, or whether that's actually a reality or it was just a one-off, we're a little bit unsure. But certainly those that could really blow people away at the end of games, you saw plenty of footballers that can actually score really big in the second half. Andrew Gaff's a classic example of that because he's got the tank, can just keep running and running and running. Well, he's got less of a chance to actually use that. So I'm looking for the outside junk time players that are using their elite endurance to get them up in the scoring levels into tier one and tier two players. I'm actually just bringing them down a tier and putting less priority on them. And at this stage, I'm liking the fact that most of my midfielders are actually inside mid. So I'm liking that at the moment. Whether that stays or not is only time will tell.
And I think there's probably an indicator that I've found. So like with last year, how CBAs were a little bit of a revelation in the community, and people sort of look to those to really judge.
Hashtag no more DOS.
No, well, hey, this was a Stevie Fizz.
Oh, was it? Is that what he said? Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, sorry, Fizz.
But DOS was the man who executed. He was the poor guy that actually had to write it up.
Yes.
And record them as well. But anyway, like CBAs were last year to the fantasy community, I think time and ground this year is going to play just as big of a part in people's decision-making. And from your comments, Stato, around, you know, those elite inside midfielders, you look at those really, really elite inside midfielders and their time on ground was up significantly on year on year. It was so all above 87% were Fife, Cogs, Gaff, Dusty, Cunnington, and the list actually goes on and on and on. I just sort of grabbed a few off the top. But then you look at those whose time on ground stayed the same, that were in the elite scoring category, and they're your biggest problem. So Matt Crouch, 72% time on ground. That's pretty close to what he was at last year. Brad Crouch, 77% time on ground. You know, those guys, I think, are really going to struggle under I'd look for those inside mids that haven't increased their time on ground.
Only short sample, though, so let's see how that plays out. Yeah, because it could... Those type of things could be a reaction to a matchup in a midfield against the opposition you played the 1 week. So
Matt Crouch has been perennially a bad time on ground.
Oh, no, absolutely. But this is, I'm sort of looking at a Matt Crouch. Sorry, Crouch. Yeah, I'm looking at a Matt Crouch, and I'm not going to give a dollar to Calvin here. But if we look back in history and then change to the time frame we've got now, it actually should be good for Matt Crouch.
Correct, yes.
It and should be. Yep. So that's why I understand the data you just brought up now, Cam, but let's wait and see the first block of these games and see what his data reads then. Because this actually, they're the type of players I'm looking at going, well, they actually might be a buy target because they might actually, in although their scores are going to be lower because everyone's is because the game time is shorter, but comparatively, they could be jumping up for us because they'll need less breaks because there is less game time.
Yeah, and the less breaks is the caution at the moment. It's you know, if they're still spending commensurate time on ground to last year, that's not a big, but it's a red flag that you need to still wait on. I agree.
And do remember when we say this that the actual breaks within the game are going to be increased.
Yes.
So they will get recovery. Yeah, a bit more recovery time actually as the game is going.
Question without notice. Does anyone sort of know what Matt Crouch's points per minute was over the last couple of years? Was he...
He's a 1.05 to 1.1
type of guy. So he's okay. He's not super...
No, he's good. Oh, he's good.
He's great. Yeah.
If you get if you're getting over one, then you're exceptional. And he's a 1.05 or 1.1.
Okay. So, yeah. If he gets a little bump, it should help him even a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yep. Is there anything else we learnt from round one or just too much of a sample size that we saw there? We need to see a couple more games play out to...
Yeah. This is the really weird thing here because we've only got one round. We've got a change of way the game's played in the time that it's been played. And we played that in just after summer. So we're talking early autumn, where we roll back, and even though we got the one sample, the football we know is different in winter.
Yeah, we do have a hub up on the Gold Coast, so the weather should be pretty good up there for those, what is it, four or five teams. So
yeah,
it should be pretty good up there.
Just one thing from a team strategy perspective. It looks like, and to be honest, I didn't watch the game, and even if I did, I probably couldn't remember. But looking at the data on the Bombers Fremantle game, it's either Fremantle are going to give up just a shitload of points to defenders, or Essendon are playing a really switch-heavy game of football, because they had Ridley, Redmond, and Adam Saad all go quite massive against Fremantle. So maybe going into round two, have a look at whether or not, you know, your defenders are against Fremantle, maybe play some, and also if you've got some Bombers, might be worth looking at putting one on the
field.
That
could just be poor entry inside 50.
I'm thinking it's more likely that.
Could you actually have that as a project, Cam? Come back to us after two rounds of the next block and see where those trends are, because that could be quite interesting.
Yep.
And that's things we've actually noticed. We do out this season, we do notice trends. It's just that it's been a long time between drinks, and
yeah,
probably by round three, we do see what trends are unfolding. So as the listeners know, I do love my big key forward, so I'm just hoping they get it in there hard and fast to the big boys. And
Hard and fast.
Because my boy Handsome Tom Lynch has got a pretty tasty matchup coming up in the next 3 weeks, so pretty happy right there.
All right, I want to buy and sell, boys.
Buy and sell time. Who are you looking at buying or selling before the start of round two, or even after round two?
Stato is just like nodding his head like crazy.
Even though we've just had a small sample size, Stato, fire away. You're chomping at the bit. Fire away.
Yeah, I want to buy. And I want to buy Adam Treloar. Because Adam Treloar's got a bit of skank on him right now. The bloke hasn't played for 2 months. It's a little bit harsh. But he missed round one. He's actually got the injury now. So if someone is at that rebuild phase of a keeper, if they're at that point, then maybe he's going, well, it's we've seen the salmon. He's rolled back, he's another year older, and he's getting injuries again. Maybe there's a little bit of a stank on him long term. So I'm reckon that people want to start round two with a full team and their stars on, and Adam Treloar's not going to be playing.
What do you reckon for redraft? Okay, so if it's the same principle, sell me on Treloar, because I'm a Treloar owner. How about you buy him off me?
Yeah, well, the problem is that you know all my shit, Cam, and that's going to be the drama. But I will say that no matter what you do here, so in a redraft, we're talking life's a little bit different. So you're not going to worry that he's getting older because you've only got him for this year. But at the moment, Cam, you're heading into the second round of a 17-round season. So we're starting to get deep in. I mean, this bloke hasn't been seen doing anything solid on the track for about 2.5 months. Now, Cam, we know you're short on success.
And stature too.
And I'm pretty sure that you want to have a fair dinkum crack at this. Now, have you got one of your stars, supposed stars that aren't even getting out in the track for you, I think that I've got a bargain. And I'm going to sell you, which will be my first sell, because I've looked at your ruck content and it looked pretty poor. I'm going to sell you Rowan Marshall.
I'm buying Rowan Marshall.
Yeah, I had Rowan Marshall.
Well, there bargain. You go. No, if you're going to buy, give me Treloar.
I'm not paying end of 2019 prices, though. I'm not going to pay end of 2019 prices. I'm going to pay at the start of 2019 prices before he went big.
And this is my whole point, that right now is the sale time for Rowan Marshall, because both of you wanted to buy. Now, as soon as you realise what you said, you went on the belly flop there, Jono, and you're going, I'm not buying him at 2019 prices. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll sell him in between your price and my price. And that is the right price. And that's for an injured Adam Treloar.
You're not getting Treloar for Rowan Marshall.
Well, it actually...
Do you know why I'd buy Rowan Marshall?
I agree. Sorry, Jono. I agree, Cam, but it actually all depends what you've got in your team. Because if you've got Matty Cruiser as your only ruck, it's a bloody good buy.
Yeah, good. Fair call. Fair call. Yeah.
Sorry, Jono.
The reason why I'm buying Rowan Marshall is we've seen all the articles the last couple of weeks that Paddy Ryder is going to be the number one ruck. Where's that pushing Marshall? Forward. Therefore, gets maybe another crack at forward status for 2021. And if Ryder, as we know, is old and injury prone, that can project him like we saw in 2019. It's a gamble, but it's something I'd be willing to take a risk on.
And it's the reason why I would sell Rowan Marshall, because right now, with only one round in, which they actually both scored pretty well. So, sorry, not using the dollar to go to Cow, but they were both in the 80s, 90s. So
92 for Supercoach, 65 in fantasy for Marshall.
Marshall, which is basically an 85.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's around that 85 mark that he scored. We look at last year, Ryder's old, injury prone, etc. This is why I'll sell Rowan Marshall now, because he's got value. If we go 5 weeks in and they're splitting the role, or Marshall's down forward and only scoring in the 70s, he's got no value. So he is a sell right now.
The other side of it, actually, in Jono, to contradict your articles about Ryder being the sole ruck, more recent articles this week were saying that Marshall will be the sole ruck. Like a couple of days ago, they came out and said that. And so for me, it's buy if you've got someone who's not paying attention in your league. But my gut feel is that people aren't going to sell Rowan Marshall in a redraft because they'll have paid too much for him at the start. And so they'll probably double down on their bets rather than give him up.
And that's, I'm just hoping, if I don't own him because I wasn't even interested as soon as they recruited.
Yeah.
But he's still got some value and someone I want him.
Yep. My first buy is actually Andrew Brayshaw. I'm actually really quietly confident that he's going to play a lot more time on ground in the rounds coming up. So little known fact, he was injured in the last preseason game and had surgery before round one on his foot. It was only minor surgery. They basically had to release some of the pressure in the foot. But you can bet your bottom dollar that it hampered his time on ground for round one with them playing it safe. Scored pretty poorly. I reckon you might be able to get him cheaply if owners are a bit distraught and maybe dismayed that he may not be the breakout that everyone's thinking. Probably won't be a massive breakout, but he's going to be a good forward.
Fair enough. My first buy, it's one of my boys from North Melbourne.
What?
It's Trent Dumont.
Oh, it is too. Yeah. Yep.
Now, again, we've only had this small sample size, but in round one, he played 95% game time. So if that was with your Cunnington, your Higgins, and your Zeebles, so if that sort of trend continues, sure, I don't expect 95%, but if it's 88 to 90%, there's a chance he can actually score pretty well for you as that M7 as bench cover. And guess what? He's not a sexy name, so you're not going to be... You might even have to pick him off the waiver wire, but you might just get him for a bag of chips and a can of Coke. So could be a good little depth player for you coming throughout this season, especially when you've got blokes like Higgins and Zeebel who are injury prone.
He's the exact type of player I love picking up in the middle of the year because no one really rates him. He's one of those names where it's like Jared Polek. They go, oh, yeah, you can have him with the old can of Coke, off you go. But they make premiership teams, those type of players.
They're depth players. Like in our home league, I drafted Jared Pollock as my M7, and they laughed at me. I'm like, Supercoach, he's a solid 90.
You can get Pollock and Dumont for Paddy Dow with DOS.
Yeah, but I don't want to give up my two players for his piece of crap.
No. You can sell him Paddy Dow and get those two in.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I think it's interesting as well because he scored pretty poorly from that 95% time on ground from he memory. Did. He got like a 60 in AFL fantasy, so it probably
62 adds, and 80.
If you believe that he can score better in the same time on ground, it's a ripper buy low because no one, as you're saying, he's an unsatisfying player to own, to be
honest. And not the greatest game, but still an $82 for Cow.
See, that's in that game was pretty high intensity. He didn't have a single tackle, so added two or three tackles in there. There's another 12 points, and he's got a pretty good score.
Who are you selling to me? Who else are you... No, I want you... I've done a buy and a sell. Who are you selling to me, Cam?
Selling? You won't like it, but it's because he's too old for you, and you won't touch it. So I need Steve on the show. It's JPK. JPK. Now, he's probably got a year or two left in the tank. He's still scoring pretty well, but guess what? That time on ground is decreasing significantly. This is from a guy who is averaging a mid-85, 86% time on ground. Compared to last year, it went down to 77% time on ground, and round one was 79%. So, obviously, old horse Longmire is ushering a new wave of young blood in that midfield, and it looks like JPK is not going to be part of that. So I won't want him in my team at all.
He still scored all right, didn't he?
I can't remember what he scored.
Huge. AFL Fantasy, he went 98.
129 Supercoach.
So,
Parker went massive too, mate. So I'm a little bit unsure of how to read that game at the moment. But look, you will find buyers, mate.
Yeah, of course.
Someone will buy JPK. No worries about that. Well, who are you selling, Cam?
You ready?
Yep.
You keen on this one? I'm going to go for it.
Come on.
It's really hard sell. If you were lucky enough to pick up a defender at the back end of your draft with such class, such ability to bounce the ball many times coming out of defense.
No, I'm not having Saad. No. No, I'm not. One game, mate.
Wait, but imagine how, first of all, how did he get drafted? But then secondly, you know, if you did end up, if you lucked into 100, he's never going to repeat that.
Can I just say to the Essendon fans, because we've created enough mess this week, when he's saying, how did he get drafted, he's not talking about his real football thing. He's actually talking about fantasy drafts. So just before we get too many Twitter messages, that's what Cam's talking about. Him and Tipper are exactly the same. Their average
Hashtag
is just...
hype train.
Well, their average is just underneath that little qualifier you want, which is the 70 mark. They're around the 68, 69 each year. Nice. They have these massive games, one or two a year, that you wish, oh, God, I wish I had them on the waiver wire, because they would have been a 123 if they were sitting on your bench. So they would have won you a round, but they plod along giving you 50s and 60s for the rest of the year that just
and you
absolutely
see, Stato,
kill you.
That's why they feature heavily in my late week pickup articles.
Yeah.
Because they're a stream option only.
Totally spot on.
Yeah, correct. I'll sell you one, but this one's going to be, I feel like people will buy this pretty easily. And it is Bailey Smith from the Dogs. I feel like his... I'm going to go from the other angle and tell you all the reasons why you should sell him, though.
Go for it.
Yeah. So, again, the big three, Bont, McRae, and Dunkley, all performed pretty poorly in round one, like really, really subpar. You'd be really disappointed with some of those scores, especially from where you would have drafted someone like Dunkley. He was going in the first round from an ADP perspective across the board. The one shining light for the Dogs in that entire game was, of course, Bailey Smith. But then you think
about
just Bailey. And then you think about the people that have to come back in Liberatore and Lipinski. And so it makes me think that if Bont, Dunkley, McRae go back to scoring, say, the equivalent of 100, and Lipinski is taking some of that wing time, Bailey Smith may still be, you know, serviceable as a forward, but he's not going to have the sized year that he's probably projected to have by many people at the moment. And so I would sell him at a high at the moment.
Yeah, and he will sell, mate. Yeah, no exactly. Drummers. And you got 95 round one. Done and done.
Yep.
I'm going to do a quick buy, and I'm going to get this dirt cheap because most people are going to sell him. But I'm going to buy Dylan Roberton. Injury risk, hasn't played for a long time. Rocked up to round one, scored a massive 20.
Sard territory there.
Yeah, huge. So the owner's not going to have much confidence. They would have had him in round one. They potentially would have lost their round and looking at for blame game and what's Dylan Robinson doing there. But I tell you that if it works for him, he's had the extra time, all that type of stuff, he's going to be that 70-75 scorer that's just going to be icing on the cake. I'll get him, Dumont. Who was the other one we were talking about? Polak. All for Paddy Dow and win-win scenario.
Did he need more time off, though? Like, he'd already had 2 years off.
But that's the whole point is, what's he done? In the last 2 years, he's given us a 20. And we know it's not that long since he played, but...
And a pretty good matchup against the Bulldogs coming into round two.
So I'm a buy Dylan Robinson for very cheap.
Cool.
Yeah, and my last buy is someone we spoke about, and that is Matty Crouch. I think you're going to be able to buy him at a reasonable price. He was going in third and fourth rounds in drafts, and I don't think you'll have to give that back to get him in your team, especially with the sort of score he put out in round one. So people might be a bit filthy on that, and you'll be able to pick him up with a pretty decent, with a solid offer, but without going over the top and selling the farm, I think.
My final buy, and it may actually be off the waiver, but depending on your league, Stato's boy Partif, I think could actually be a really good buy low target. He was in January, as late as January this year, there were articles about him just ripping up intra clubs and contested ball work internally at the Cats. And then, of course, he wasn't named in round one, and everyone went, what the fuck is going on here? And actually, he had a back complaint, and so it was a withdrawal from selection. It wasn't that he wasn't selected. If owners don't know that, they could have already parted ways with Partif, but if not, maybe try and throw in a little lowball offer.
As soon as you said that, you said he had a back complaint, and I'm pretty sure Jono's just done another wheel bag. I'm
the
sure.
Balls to the wall.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure it's backs to the wall. I reckon.
Oh, he has, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's hashtag wheel bag too.
Balls to the wall is full throttle. Is that what you meant to? Is that?
Yeah, that's what. That's balls to the wall. Yeah, just go full throttle.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the meaning of it.
We'll see. We'll see.
But it's going to be interesting how Geelong line up. I mean, they've got every single game at GMHBA Stadium. You've got Menegola coming back from baby sway. You've got
I thought you were going to say from Beijing. What?
He might have come back from Beijing. I don't know. We've been in lockdown long enough. We've got the baby swag there. You've got Mitch Duncan. Even though he had a blinder round one, he's had enough time to recover from his injuries. They're pretty full.
Gaz looks good.
Gaz is going to be playing because it's only 16 rounds now, so no breaks there. Maybe Jack Stephen comes in, not too sure, depending on how he is. So,
and, of course, we're in the danger zone.
We are in the danger zone, and Steve's favourite player, Joel Selwood, would be fit and firing as well.
He will.
So there's going to be a lot of competition there for spots at Geelong with a pretty healthy list, so Partif might not even make it in camp.
No, he's in the best. He's in the best 22.
He's a good player. I do like him. All right, quickly moving on, just to have a look at the fixtures coming up for the next 4 weeks. We do know that there is the hub there in Queensland with the two Adelaide teams. The Adelaide teams will be playing at Adelaide Oval for the showdown and then flying out. You've got the Gold Coast and West Coast. You think you're going to be pretty pissed off if you're playing Gold Coast early, especially for us fantasy players. You don't want that. You want to play the Gold Coast in the last four rounds, especially for our fantasy finals.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to see I'm assuming the AFL will release the fixtures in what, round four maybe, or at the end of round five, just to give a clearer picture. Maybe you know more, Stato, on how that would work.
No, I have absolutely no idea. And I think what will happen here, it will be very dependent on what else is happening. So you can't really plan round six until you understand what's happening with the borders. So I think Ryan Daniels explained that really well, of the potential of the WA border being open up. But they might have to go into quarantine for 2 weeks before when the two teams return. So the only way to manage that is take them both back halfway through the quarantine, actually play each other, being the Western Derby, and then the border should be free and their quarantine will be over by the time they roll out to their second game being home. So there's so much to work through. So my recommendation with the fixture is we've got what we've got. We know that block. Concentrate on that block, get the wins in while you can, play the short-term game, don't worry about anything else because you don't know what's happening, and no one does. So take everything that you can get right now, don't play the long game with it, win now, which I know it's a new philosophy for you, Cam, but think about the winning. It's all about success. And then you can reset once we actually all know more, because it will take a bit of time to get this right. And it will be flexible because what all the states do on how the country is tracking, and we seem to be tracking very well right now, but just concentrate on winning each week. Just take it a week at a time, and respect the opponents, the umpires, the ball boys, pat them all on the back, and just get the 4 points.
Can we get some more cliches in there, please?
Yeah, no, it's the old Rodney E one during the finals. Just glad to get the 4 points.
And I think when it comes down to it, I think, Cam, you won't know anything about this, but teams are drafted well at the start of the year. So if you've got that strong depth in your team, in like especially your midfields, like this year in the home league, I've got 10 midfielders in a 5-7-1-5. So I'm pretty deep in my midfield, pretty solid in the defence, and my forward's always shit, so I'm not too worried about that, but it gives you something to work with. Whereas if you're on the back foot, I think, and you need to be chasing wins to build your team, it's going to be hard, especially if we're playing finals in that final 4 weeks, when that means you've only got 11 weeks. And if there's a trade embargo, does that come in? So you've really got 10 weeks to get your team lined up.
Yeah, essentially. And I was very lucky in our keeper league, so the listener league keeper. And it wasn't designed this way, but I've got a lot of no names in my midfield, but they're all the inside grunt type guys that at the moment this looks like it's perfect for. So we're talking, Lockie Neal is not a no name, but he does that grunt work. So Viney, Sheed, Adams, Liam Shields, those type of players are just going to have really solid seasons. So, look for those if you can, especially if teams like yourself, Jono, have got a really lot of midfield depth, because midfield depth gives you something to sell and something for people to buy.
That's right. It's the main bargaining chip when it comes into a deal and gets the jobs done.
Yep.
Lesson for you, Cam.
What?
I said it's a lesson for you.
What? I don't know if you guys have seen the drafts for the Listener League redraft, but I crushed that, and I'm absolutely going to win that. Absolutely.
Am I in that?
It's
you guys, I won it first year, and I don't think you guys let me back in.
We changed it the format. This year it's gauntlet style, so it's last man standing.
Yes, very exciting.
So do you hear that, listeners? It's a bit like the ISO draft. I just went in, started all these competitions, won it all. They don't even invite me anymore.
See, I think I'm going to be out round two because I've got Nick Newman and Adam Treloar in my last man standing.
Nick Newman will play. He'll play.
You reckon? I don't think so.
Treloar won't, obviously.
Obviously.
Sell him.
Don't sell him. I think we've got some listener questions, Jono.
Excellent.
Do we?
Yes. I've got them here. Don't you worry, Jono. One of us is prepared.
Let's go. I'm hungry.
No, I checked Twitter. There was nothing unless you just tweeting yourself questions while we're
recording. Come on, Cam, let's go read them out.
This one comes from at the potato bake, and it is, why is Jono such a jerk? No, I've got a question here from...
Because I can be.
From Russ2468. I was bitterly disappointed with Luke Ryan and Robertson's round one effort, 28 and 20 points respectively. Would you guys field Burton, Zaharakis, Weller, Short, and Haynes ahead of them in round
yes.
two?
No. Yes.
Luke, this is Luke Ryan to a T. He always gives you one shit, and then we'll give you a block of 5 to 6. Really good scores. Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. So,
if they're all playing, Jono, who are you taking out for Luke Ryan? Go through the names again.
We have Burton.
Yeah, sorry. Cam, go through the names again. One by
Burton,
one. Yeah, Burton stays. Yeah, Burton stays in. Zaharakis stays in.
Weller.
Yes.
Short.
Oh, he may be the questionable one, yep.
And Hawley's Haynes. Not playing round two.
And
Haynes.
Yeah. Probably Short. Hawley, so bring in playing. Ryan for Short.
Hawley's not playing, though.
Yeah, Hawley's so go back to my original answer is no.
Take Zaharakis out because he's a flog.
If he's playing midfield, mate, he's a guaranteed scorer.
Jono just comes out with the, oh my goodness, because he's a flog. No, classic.
Zaharakis will not score well this year. He came with a 62 and 47.
Next question is from the real Oogie Boogie Bush, which, by the way, is one of the best names on Twitter. Like to hear your thoughts. I've traded Took Miller into three keepers. Everyone, including me, was thinking how good Greenwood would be in the guts at the Gold Coast, but he was often given tagging roles at the Crows and tagged Marsh 2 and Round 1. When not tagging, Miller seems to score well. Yes or no? Took Miller to bring in.
Well, Took Miller used to be the tagger before
Nick
Greenwood,
Holman.
So.
Yeah.
Sorry, is he asking this for a keeper?
Yeah, it sounds like three keepers.
Yeah, I wouldn't bring Took Miller in for a keeper. They've got so much young talent in that midfield that these guys are there for a short time, not a long time. The talent will come through.
Oh, do you reckon Took will go by the bye?
Well, someone will.
Yeah.
Someone has to. They've got so much talent there. So I wouldn't be buying those. If they're on the waiver wire, I'll pick them up and stream them and whatever and keep an eye on. But I wouldn't be buying them and I wouldn't be bringing them in because there's so much talent on that list that some stage you just got to let all the talent go.
And I'll tell you what, that's probably the first time that's ever been said about the Suns. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, next one is from Fist Smash Fight. Crystal ball time. Now that it's locked in, is there anyone we think is going to pop this season? So just now that we're back, who's going to pop, essentially? Could be due to the 16-minute quarters. Could be due to the opportunity. Big second preseason. Who do you reckon?
Brett Bewley.
Really? You reckon Bueller?
If he's not affected by Blake Akers coming back, what we saw was very promising, but they were talking quite highly of him during the preseason, and he delivered round one.
Yeah. Okay.
Carl Amon. Still Carl Amon for me. 84% time on ground for a 92 super coach, 82 dream team. That's pretty solid for a guy who had only a couple of tackles and kicked 0 goals too, so could have easily turned up.
And I'll double up with Frio and say Blake Akers finally has a proper breakout.
Yeah, I can see that. I think I struggle a little bit more with the Carl Amon take. I think especially with Wines coming back, I know they're completely different players.
But he's on the wing.
Yeah, I know they're completely different players, but you'd play Dersmer over Amon, I would suggest. But we'll see.
Well, they played both the same team, and Amon outscored him. So it's Donuts Motlop, the ones you got to watch out for, because he had a pretty cracking Marsh series in round one as well. So
he did, Donuts. Yeah. I think I'd see a return. I think Mitch Duncan is going to play a really great season. He didn't have high time on ground because he was coming back from that injury. I think if you drafted him, you probably got him later than he deserved to go. And I think you're going to be really happy with the scores that he puts out. That'll be me.
One person. So you picked a John Adelaide midfield was Connor Rosie.
Oh, geez. Wasn't he good?
He was good.
So good.
But you're saying what time is he going to be impacted in with Wines coming back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool.
Are you going to ask a question from Doss's burner account?
Which one's that?
From Adza0811.
Oh, right. Just wondering if you could pump up Chase Jones. What a jet. It's a collective groan from around.
Look, I think, and I've said this to you guys before, and I think it might have been more in our chats. I think he's a very good player. I'm just a little bit unsure whether he's a massive disposal winner. So I think he is going to be remarkable. We've had some fantastic players that just aren't great fantasy players. I think he's going to be a very good player. I'm just not convinced he's going to be a star fantasy player. Could be wrong.
And that happens. And that does happen.
Yep.
All right, that does wrap up the show for this week. It's good to talk some football for once. Next week, we will have something along the lines of, not sure just yet. We'll come up with something. Maybe
fixture preview should be. Just go full bore when we know a bit more. Yep. Yep.
Yep. All right, sounds like a plan. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.